This is for our Bible reading.
First of all, a prophetic vision from the prophet Isaiah from the Old Testament.
The reading is taken from the second chapter of Isaiah, beginning at verse 1. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The Lord will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God. Then secondly, our New Testament reading from the book of the Revelation, the final book of the Bible.
This lesson comes from the chapter 7 of Revelation, starting at verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory, and wisdom and thanks and honour and power and strength be to our God for ever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders added, "Those in white robes, who are they? And where do they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "They are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The horrific scenes in Israel and Gaza seem very far from the prophet Isaiah's vision of swords beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. So terrible is the news from the Middle East that Putin's ongoing war in Europe no longer makes it onto the front pages. How is it possible then to have hope in a world so riven with conflict, so troubled and uncertain? In history, we must say that hopes have often disappointed. Some thought the Great War would be the war to end all wars, and yet the Second World War followed within a generation. The false utopian hopes of communism and fascism turned to nightmares. We could sum up the 20th century as a warning against hollow hope. Think of some of those soldiers who returned home, hoping to build a better world. It wasn't easy to do so. Sometimes there wasn't the hero's welcome. Those at home found it hard to understand. Those who went away came back changed. So what of hope? Can Christians dare to speak of hope? When we read those passages from the Bible, it can seem too good to be true. And yet Christians are convinced that their hope rests on a solid foundation. Indeed, that it is sure and certain and open to all. But it depends on what Jesus has done for us. Despite the Bible's vision of an end of war, of swords beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, the arms industry continues to pour out more and more deadly weapons. We clearly need a hope which is more than looking on the bright side and hoping for the best. The Bible faith is not easy or cheap. The Christian faith is more than an aspiration to goodwill and a desire that we might get on better together. The Bible warns of those who will say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. The Christian message is always something more than try a bit harder to be a bit better. The Christian hope is founded on God's undeserved love and his unstoppable power. The Christian faith is first of all about what God has done for us in Christ, not about what we must do. Jesus said, in fact, remarkable words that he wouldn't dare to make up. That he came not to bring peace, but a sword. He's speaking of a necessary division. That his words divide people. They disrupt the status quo. They don't allow an easy peace. Jesus faces us with a disturbing choice. According to Jesus, all hope depends and our response to him. The Christmas angels certainly do speak of peace and goodwill. And yet that is founded on the fact that Christ the Saviour has been born. The Bible's message is that before we can be reconciled to one another, we must first be reconciled to God. As our Old Testament reading put it, we must come to God and learn his ways. We need his light to break in upon us. But we need more than that, more than education. We need rescue. We need a saviour. That's the message of our New Testament reading. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And peace, according to the Bible, comes only through sacrifice. That was the experience, the achievement of many who gave their lives in war, sacrificing themselves for the sake of peace. The partial and temporary peace, which is the legacy of their sacrifice, points us to a larger hope, a better, more permanent peace, the reconciliation of the nations made possible by the blood of the Lamb, by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sin of the world. All that causes war and conflict took Jesus to the cross for all those who had put their trust in him. And the church is meant to be an outpost of that coming kingdom, a sign of hope that here we have a foretaste of people from different nations and backgrounds beginning to love one another, however imperfectly, with a love which comes from God and overcomes human hostilities. Like many who lay down their lives in war for their friends, their kin, and their country, Jesus gave his life for us that we might live. He died to win freedom and peace for us. He paid the penalty for sin to end the enmity between us and a holy God. The Christian hope does not disappoint us because the Lamb lives. The Lamb who was slain has become the Shepherd King at the centre of the throne. Not a dead hero, but a living Lord. The one who will protect and provide for his people, sheltering them, refreshing them, wiping away every tear from their eyes. By his death and resurrection, Jesus has triumphed over sin and death and hell. Now we're in the middle of the mess of the story. But we know the end. Love wins. Death has died. Jesus reigns. Hope lives. Despite the famous hymn, we cannot build Jerusalem in England's green and pleasant land. Not entirely, not on our own. But the Christian hope is of a new Jerusalem, a community of the redeemed from all humankind, which comes down out of heaven from God. That God will do the impossible. There will one day be peace with justice, an end to war and the intractable conflict of our world. And that peace will be enjoyed by all those who will make their peace with King Jesus. He offers us forgiveness and cleansing. We can be reconciled to him, transformed from his enemies to his friends. We can know that peace within, which can begin to spread out to others. Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb, and he will give it as a free gift to all who will receive him. So as we honour all those who have served in war, let us commit ourselves to the peace which only God himself can give. And may that peace with God be a source of hope and reconciliation in all our relationships, for Jesus' name's sake. And so all praise and honour and glory and wisdom and thanks and honour and power and strength be to our God and to the conquering Lamb who has become our Shepherd King. Amen. Thank you.